Bob, you can go back. It was pretty good that you redid that resolution.
Thanks for your help on that, Bob. You really have a trouble getting an arm.
Yeah, well, it seems like Marshall said this, you know, you're going to be voting on something that's never going to happen. So why would I? So, I think it's worth it.
If they
give them an opportunity to try something new.
Well, I just wasn't sure how to understand the resolution.
I think it would have been simpler just to continue the first year.
So you got Bob's approval?
Well, then we had to strike for the last two parts.
Now, let's see here. Comstock Mining, what do you guys want today? Well, vote favorably, you should give me one of those seat cushions.
It was kind of different than the ones that used to. I always convince people that buildings are better than the building just because it's materials and keeps up with technology. But it's really surprising that my understanding is that everybody builds to their Okay, Bill.
I had painfully watched that during the speech that you watched.
And you're right. Now that I look at it, yeah, sure, we could have gone ahead and threw that one in. We did.
Our friend down there had me.
Well, but truly, this wasn't a bar. I mean, I was 50-50. I thought it was fine. I was 4.5 then I had no.
So,
you got me right on the back. Listening to you got me. Larry, I thought I had been more slow. I know. Small enough to say, you want to go with me? You
know, take care of it.
Yeah, you can either sit here.
Okay.
And you're going to lead off, right?
Yeah, just super quick intro.
Okay, I'd like to reconvene County Commissioners meeting. We've been asked to move items 18 and 19 up. So we're going to do that. 18 is going to come right behind 13 now. So it's under community development and planning, discussion of possible action, zone map amendment 2014-2015. Ms. Redmond.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the commission. Again, this is file 2014-005. The applicants and property owners are Comstock Mining, Inc. and Northern Comstock, LLC. The subject area is 14 properties located in the south section of Gold Hill along the State Route 342 corridor. The existing zoning is commercial residential, and the applicants request a zone map amendment to amend the official Story County zoning map of 14 parcels currently zoned commercial residential to the special planning review zone. Story County Code states that amendments to the county official zoning district map may be initiated by a owner of a lot or parcel in Story County. And I'd like to direct you to page 2 of your staff report. There's a vicinity map that shows the location of the subject properties. And on page 4, there's a map graphic detailing the proposed changes. And further on page 5 of your staff report, it shows abutting land parcels, which are mostly vacant and vacant BLM land. And there are some existing mining activities and residential uses in the surrounding areas. Figures 7 through 12 of your staff report show close-ups of the subject of properties and the relationship between abutting properties and the SR 342 zone. So next, I'm just going to highlight a couple things that are also found in your staff report, including the purpose and intent of the CR and the SPR zones. In the CR zone, it is intended to serve as a community focal point and provide for a center of mixed uses, including single-family and multifamily residential uses, and those uses are intended to be integrated into the commercial business and tourism uses. The purpose and intent of this SPR zone is to provide protections to current mining and milling and the historic remnants within American Flat and Gold Hill and the Virginia City areas. Page 7 outlines the allowed uses of each of these zones. For example, in the CR zone, allowed uses such as retail, commercial, and multifamily and recreational uses are allowed. Allowed uses in the SPR zone are things like equestrian facilities, RV storage parking, improvements to the VNT railroad, and picnic areas. And in your staff report, there's a table that outlines uses subject to an SUP, a special use permit, in the SPR and CR zones. In the CR zones, things like regional stores, shopping centers, casinos, automotive services, and things of that nature are allowed uses in the CR zone subject to an SUP. And in the SPR zone, things like mining extraction, milling and processing associated with mining, temporary concrete, and asphalt batch plants and bed and breakfasts are allowed subject to an SUP. So that's an introduction to the project. Again, all of that information as well as more information is outlined in the staff report. So I'll end with that unless you have any initial questions for staff, and then I ask the applicant to come up and make their request.
So any questions, David?
No, followed it pretty well through the Planning Commission meeting. Looks like a pretty straightforward thing to me.
Okay. Carter, you want to come on?
3 minutes.
Thank you. Yeah, Crowder to Gaspers, President Gold Hill. Bill. Thanks, Bill. President Gold, President, I was going to say Gold Hill Hotel, that's true, and Comstock Mining, Inc., Gold Hill, Nevada. I just want to thank the Planning Commission and the staff for its thoroughness and diligence. We've gotten actually used to it, and it's very different than other experiences that we've had. Story County really is exemplifying something very different in the context of technical diligence and partnering. We just would like to say that we feel that the request is consistent with the county's diverse economic objectives. It's consistent with the historical uses and character, and with some of the new ordinances that planning and the commission has also worked very hard to establish. We think that the proposed map is compatible with all the abutting land uses and existing uses and abutting uses. And ultimately, we felt that the existing zoning was an undesirable example of some spot zoning that, when we were debating it with the Planning Commission, it was difficult for anyone to recall how it actually came up. So we just request your approval for this zoning change, 34 acres, I think, about. Less than 2 minutes. Thank you.
Commissioners, have any questions for Gaspers?
No, I don't.
Do we have any discussion? Anybody have any questions? Mark?
Thanks, Commissioners. Mark Phillips, Virginia City resident. Discussion before action on zone map amendment 2014-005. In the Planning Commission process, part of this, I made a public records request for the parcels involved here. And I got a public record back from the clerk's office. And real quickly, I'll read this letter to the Planning Commission, dated Tuesday, June 24th, which I'll submit to the clerk to put in the record of today's minutes. Dear Planning Commission, after reviewing the information I received from the Office of the County Treasurer that is an attachment, I have reason to believe that this agenda item is all about the money. The fiscal year 2014-2015 property tax bill to Comstock Mining on these 14 parcels zoned commercial residential will be humongous compared to the tax exemptions they have enjoyed in the past. And I ask the Planning Commission to please consider this information. It turns out there was a decree and order quieting title declaring judgment for the parcels that were exempt from being on the tax roll. Deputy Clerk goes on, they will be added to the tax roll for 2014-2015 year. So my concern now is what will the loss of revenue to the county be by rezoning of these parcels? I have reason to believe commercial residential would be taxed at a higher rate than what's being proposed today. And also my second concern, what was the legal notice of the meeting itself? It turns out legal notice published did not include the place of the meeting. Time and place is required on legal notices. I've been assured that in the future, Planning Department will take a little more care in the public notices. So I'll sign this here today and give it to the clerk. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If I could very quickly address one thing, he is right about the notice. However, not just the legal notice, he said legal notice, it's a notice that appeared in the paper. However, we had posted the agenda in 6 or 7 different places, personally sent letters to I don't know how many people, and based upon all of the notice that we gave, I feel that we substantially complied with the notice requirements for the planning. But I've assured Mark that, and I know Austin and I have talked about this, and in the future, we'll do that. It's just an oversight on our part in this particular case. But we substantially complied with our notice requirements.
Thank you, Mr. DA. Any other discussion on item 18? Okay. This time I'm looking for a motion of approval.
Oh, you made the motion to approve?
I think we've got a little bit
And I would like to read the findings for a motion.
Pardon me. I jumped the gun over here, so.
Yeah. Okay, these are the findings for a motion of approval for 2014-005 zone map amendment. The proposed zone map amendment complies with all federal, state, Nevada state, and Story County regulations. The proposed zone map amendment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on abutting properties. The conditions of approval of the zone map amendment require compliance with the applicable codes. The conditions of approval for the zone map amendment do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Story County Code Chapter 17.44 Special Planning Review or Chapter 17.03.22 Zone Map Amendments and Zone Text Amendments. The uses allowed by the new zones do not appear to cause substantial adverse impacts to the uses allowed in abutting zones. The proposed zone map amendment is in substantial compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of Story County Master Plan. The proposed zone map amendment will provide for land uses compatible with existing adjacent land uses and will not have detrimental impacts to other properties in the vicinity. The proposed zone map amendment will not cause uses that will negatively impact existing or planned public services or facilities and will not adversely impact the public health, safety, and welfare. The proposed zone map amendment will not create any non-conforming conditions, such as non-conforming setback distances or minimum parcel areas and width requirements.
Thank you. Anyone want to hear any of the motions, findings for denial on this? Okay. Now, if we're ready, for motion for approval, including the findings of 6.1.
truth at 9 o'clock.
I want to make the second.
Oh, you do? I'll make the motion for approval.
For zoning map amendment 2014-2015 by Comstock Mining and further Comstock.
Thank you, sir.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Story County Planning Commission, if a recommendation for approval is made at the June 26, 2014 Planning Commission meeting, the findings of fact under section 6.1 of the staff report and or other findings of fact deemed appropriate by the record board and in compliance with all conditions of approval, the Story County Board of Commissioners hereby approve zoning map amendment number 2014-005. Thank you.
Second.
Now you know what Bill wants you to make the motion.
Been moved in second to approve zone map amendment 2014-2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along to item 19.
Mr. Chairman, if I may interrupt, I just want to point out one individual of special note by way of some introduction with some of you perhaps. There's a lot of regular faces I see and know from a long time from Comstock Mining and from days growing up in Virginia City. We can't seem to shed ourselves of Mr. Joel Coker, which is actually a great thing. But a relatively new addition to Comstock Mining is Mr. Hal Galbraith. Hal's their mining director. In a very short order, I've gotten to work with Hal on a number of countywide projects, from the 5 Mile Reservoir to the street sweeper to, you know, whatever it may be. And Hal brings a wealth of experience to the organization and to the Comstock, and I'm sure when you get to meet him and chat with him, you'll take a liking to him as quickly as I did. He's a great asset to CMI and to the community. So,
great. All right, here we go. Moving along, item 19, discussion of possible action. The applicant requests amendments to existing special use permit number 2000-222-A-3 to modify and expand applicable land area and allowable uses. Mr. Osborne.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. The Planning Commission and I, we're not done with this item yet, so we have continued this item at the Planning Commission to July 17th to be heard. It's not ready for this commission. I ask that this commission continue this item until expected August 5.
For what date, Austin?
That would be your regularly scheduled meeting, Tuesday, August 5th, for this meeting. That's the date I would ask that this be continued to.
Yeah.
So I hereby make the motion that that we continue this item to our meeting of Tuesday, August 5th.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
2014 at 10 a.m. here in the courthouse.
Yes, that would be correct, here at the courthouse at this location.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Do I have any discussion on this?
Need any seating assignments or anything?
Anybody have anything?
I'll second it.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Continue to August the 5th. Okay. Now we're going to back up, and we're going to go down to
staff.
We're going to go to staff. Let's go. Jenny Dodson, would you like tourism? Would you like to start us off today?
I lost my crowd.
Yeah.
Jeez. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jenny Dodson, tourism director. I don't generally often share, especially with this board, general advertising or marketing efforts, but I thought I would. For this particular piece. Nevada Commission on Tourism bartered a deal with the San Francisco Chronicle recently for us to do a Nevada section within the Nevada Appeal. It's a two-part section. The first part just broke this last Sunday, and I want to pass this along to look at. I just have the one copy, but basically Virginia City with coming together with some partners, some lodging partners, the B&T, Mr. McBride here in the Bucket of Blood, along with some other Fourth Ward School and some other editorial, was able to secure 2.5 pages, full pages in that San Francisco Chronicle that not just a print edition, but also will be available online on their website. So it's something unique, something that's pretty good to our target audience that I thought I would share. And again, a similar piece will break in late August. And then to bring you up to date on 4th of July fundraising efforts, I got a printout this morning. Karen Woodmissey has been, again, working with us, as she has several times in the past, on fundraising efforts to help pay for the fireworks. That budget for 4th of July is just under $30,000. Right now, we're about halfway there. So a little bit less than what we were last year, but, of course, a lot of it comes the week going into the 4th and on the 4th. So we're hopeful that we will still make that goal. I know the raffle, and we'll have some T-shirt sales, and there'll be some beer and wine and stuff going on the 4th as well to help cut the cost. But, again, it's always a stretch to try and pay for those fireworks. Just also on the 5th, I mentioned the day after the 4th of July is a wine walk. Be going on most of the day. And then another unique event coming to the Comstock is Rock the Comstock. Lauren Purcell from the Red Dog, we've been working with him on a Battle of the Bands format, if you will. For the last month, the folks have been voting online for their favorite bands. They selected down to three, and July 18th through the 20th, there'll be folks competing here through several bars in town throughout the that weekend to find a champion of the Comstock on the Sunday, the 20th. And then finally, just one last thing, Hot August Nights, again, comes through Virginia City at the end of July on the 31st, and we will be doing like we have in the last couple of years and reserving parking for them on the east side of State Route 341 through Virginia City. We've also introduced a raffle prize for every $5 that participants spend in Virginia City. They'll have a chance to win a night stay at the Cobb Mansion and dinner at the Core restaurant on us. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Danny. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Okay. Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a few items for you this morning. Last Tuesday, Desi, myself, and Ann Langer went out to the Petroglyphs on a guided tour with folks from the Nevada Rock Art Foundation. The staff and the volunteers at the Nevada Rock Art Foundation work actively to promote and protect prehistoric rock in Nevada and surrounding areas. We're very fortunate here in Story County. We have Joan Johnson, a longtime Virginia City resident, who is a very active volunteer with them and visits the site once a month and serves as a great steward of the land. So we were very fortunate to be able to go out with those folks and learn more than we probably would have learned going on our own about what is out there. So it was a great opportunity. Bids are due for the courthouse roof project on July 17th. We're hoping that we're going to get quite a bit of interest on this particular project, and we should be coming to you at the August 5th commission meeting with a recommendation for award of a bid. I'm very happy to report that after almost 5 years of work, we have finally received the grant award for the Six Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Project. It's very exciting. It was a long process going through environmental reviews, historic preservation reviews, and all other kinds of environmental reviews to get to where we're at today. We're hoping to be moving forward here shortly and have a meeting scheduled for July 29th to get the project kicked off. The Virginia City Senior Center has a couple of fundraising events coming up that I want to make mention of. On August 16th, they will be having an indoor yard sale at the center. They did that in the past, and it's proved to be a very successful fundraiser for them. Also on October 10th, they will be hosting the annual lasagna cook-off. So a couple of events you might want to put on your calendars and plan to attend. Also this morning, I received the grant award for the Senior Center Kitchen Improvement Project. It was too late to get on the agenda for this meeting, so it'll be on the August 5th meeting. But once we have that all in place, we can begin work on replacing countertops, kitchen equipment, and doing some work to the couple of vehicles they have there at the center. So they're very excited about this grant award, as are we. So remember also to save the date for the health fair coming up on October 18th at Piper's Opera House. I have a planning meeting this afternoon. We're looking at about 20 different vendors We've had great participation from Carson City Health and Human Services, as well as Carson Tahoe Hospital, who will be bringing quite a contingent of services for that day. So we're happy with that. And we continue to work on a solution for healthcare once Hawk leaves the community center on July 10th, and we're hoping that we have some services in place by September. So we're working, you know, there's a lot of different options we have with this, so we're doing the best and getting the best services that we can. That's all I have, if anyone has any questions for me.
Great. Dave Beller?
Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Except thank you for approving his telephone system.
Thank you.
Did you want to give a little briefing on the new 911 system?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, the phone system that was approved today is it's an upgrade from the old system we had, which was about 14 years old. The old system was all ran through copper wire, and it's been a great system. It's just lived its life. It's starting to fail. We're having some problems with it. They're no longer supporting it, so we moved on to the new system, which is the voice over IP. And the voice over IP system gives us a lot more redundancy, so there'll be less failures. Just gives us a lot more tools to do things. One of the things that it will do for us, which is really nice, is currently, if someone uses a cell phone to call 911, it'll give us the cell company, the phone number, and the tower the call came from. So from there, we have to try to track them down and ping them if they're lost in the hills or they're injured. The new one will actually give us a GPS coordinates to the location, which is really nice. It'll tie into the mapping. Someone calls 911, it'll pull right up to the residence for us. It'll fix a lot of our problems. Another good part with it is it ties in with everybody else's in the state and the region especially. So if we lose a line, something goes down, it'll automatically default to Carson City, whoever answers our phones for us. The current system now, if we lose it, we have to call an 800 number and talk to somebody in Chicago who will then transfer us to Alabama, and they'll put in a ticket and try to switch it over. And it can take a while. So this new system is really going to be something good. The best part about it, too, is since it's all voice over IP, it's all state-of-the-art. It's ran off of smaller things. Currently, I have a closet full of cards, and, I mean, you have to see the stuff we have in there, hundreds of pounds of equipment. This stuff's all ran off of routers and modems and things like that. Definitely 100% incredible upgrade. I can't even believe it right now. I'm still kind of in shock that we're going to be getting this one. For a change, we're actually ahead of the rest of the counties here. The last few years, we've kind of been a step behind them as they're upgrading to the new voice over IPs. Well, now we just upgraded to a system that they don't have yet. So they're all going to be upgrading to ours here in the next year. So, again, I want to thank everyone for their help to get this done. It's a big monkey off my back.
Is it all still copper wire?
Yeah, the lines they saw far, yeah. But then what will happen is it's ran off of two T1 lines, which is part of the package that are basically for redundancy, coming from Reno and then running up to the central office. But, yeah, that part
of the T1s?
Yeah, they're going to run all that stuff. That's part of the package and stuff. They're building up their system down in Reno. They're building up their call central station there. Basically, they're building for Northern Nevada, so... when they build that, you know, they're putting those lines in as well. But it just gives us a lot more, it's going to be a lot cleaner, basically, is what it is. It's about 120 days out once they start. They have to build it in there, down where they are, and they build it for our specs, and they bring it in and plug it in. So it's really a seamless system with it.
And I might add, if I can, that, you know, it certainly sounds like we're upgrading, which we are. It has a high-priced ticket on it at $180,000-plus, as I recall. But there are savings in the maintenance overall. And the most critical reason why is it took Dave quite a bit of talking and persuading both Hugh Gallagher and myself to sign up on the recommendations. But the bottom line is the last system was purchased by me shortly after 2011, 9/11, if you will, and 2001, excuse me. And It is Windows XP based, and I don't think there's very many people left that even know about computers that know that if you've got XP, you're not getting any support. You're highly vulnerable, and everything's beginning to fall apart on it. So this does get us back into the 21st century in this case, with good solid equipment that should last us a long, long time and allow for expansion should we actually work out some of our efforts to regionalize 911 centers.
Yeah, the system now, just to kind of build a bit more into that, the current system that we have, I'm paying AT&T, I think it's $16,000 or $17,000 a year to maintain it for me right now, and that's the service contract, all that. The new service contract for the new system is $28,000 for 5 years. So it will definitely, you know, save money there in the long run, but it's just, you know, it is the actual startup cost on it. It's a little bit more than we wanted, but I think
I thought I saw $35,000 for five. That must have been amended.
Yeah, I was under the impression, I was told that it was 28. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was 28,000 in there. There might be a couple other things in there that he added too. I'd have to look back at that and see.
Yeah, I believe 35,000 okay. Is what
I think we have a $38,000 savings over 5 years.
Right.
So that's
good. Yeah.
And we did, thanks to Sharon Nevin on this. We procured partial funding through one of the available public safety grants out there in the amount of $30,000 to go toward this as well.
Well, that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Marilyn Miller, do you have something to report today from Lockwood Community Center?
And I'm reporting for my husband, too.
Do you have his proxy today?
Marilyn Miller, River District. Hello. I want to remind everybody of the luncheon that's coming up, July 22nd. You're planning, we've had several responses already. Be sure you get there by 11:30. We eat at 11:45. We just experienced a really nice thing in our community. We had senior awareness picnic and luncheon there. We had a number of people. We served over 250 hot dogs. Had a pie contest. My goodness sakes, what did we have, like 25 pies? To judge, it was unbelievable. A lot of nice things happened to a lot of nice people that deserved it. It's all in the Comstock Chronicle. There's pictures. There's the entire whole process for the whole day. It was great. But we do have to apologize on behalf of my husband because one of the tent stakes punctured one of the drip lines or the water lines for the lawn. So that has been repaired. We didn't expect that because we were pretty careful, but we got one of them just in the just a small wrong place. I have two things on the park that I took on myself. We've had a lot of requests for a bocce ball court. And you can line it in wood, and in Italy they're done in dirt. In England they're done in grass. We can get the measurements, build a box, have a bocce ball court. There's plenty of room there. We would put it way up towards the fence by the school, by that big tree in the back corner, out of the playground area totally. If we did one. There's a lot of requests, so we're really looking into how we could get one going. The other thing that people have been asking me, and I need to ask you whose responsibility this is, they want to renew the river walk we used to have along the river, not by the road. We used to have one meander along the riverbank. And I said, I don't think that that's Story County's responsibility. I thought that someone in our area, either the CGID or the homeowners, put that in originally. So I'm just asking you, does anybody know anything about it? I don't think it's your responsibility or not to be redoing that riverwalk so it can be used again.
I will say in the 15-ish years I've worked with the great folks out there, I'm not aware of any county responsibility, but why don't we get together with Sherry
okay.
And we'll try to resurrect what it is mm-hmm. and what you're looking for, and we'll help mm-hmm. out however we can.
Yeah, I was, you know, I've had four or five people come, so I thought I'd just ask. And the last thing is this week I'm shopping for bookshelves. I promise you I'll have them on the wall by the time you get there for lunch that day. I've been gone for 8 days out of state, so I'm kind of behind in getting all my chores done that I need to get done in that building also. So thank you. That's the extent of my report.
Have you talked to Maggie at all about the river walk?
No, I haven't. I haven't talked to Shirley either because...
Okay, yeah, those two.
I don't know who put it in, but I used to walk on it. It's just been kind of like let go so bad it's just not passable in spots.
Connie may know, too, if you still have contact with her.
I still have contact with Connie. I could call her. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Lee. Mr. Ribello. You have a report today, sir? Mark Twain Community Center.
Yes, I'm Adam Robello, chairman for Mark Twain Community Center. Got a few little things here. Update on what's happened in the last month. Wanted to also thank Marshall McBride for attending our last meeting. It was great to see you there. I want to thank Bill Swangen for the donation of a piano. So we've got a few more things to work on now. It needs a little work, but we'll get it going. We've had a change in our board. Laura Kukuli has resigned, and we found a suitable replacement. Ms. Marie Babs is going to assist us for the rest of the year. Our last event was June 28th, this past Saturday. We had a rummage sale, generated $216 for the center. We were quite shocked with that. We had plans on trying to get a carnival for August. Debt has been put on hold till next year. We had too many little stumbling blocks getting our way and getting a confirmation on the carnival itself and the way the tickets would be sold. So it wasn't from lack of trying, it just things didn't work out for this year. Our next meeting is July 16th at 6:30. Hope to see all of you there. We do have, we heard from IRS regarding our 501c3. They needed more information. So Ron has sent that off to them, and hopefully we'll be hearing back very soon and get that approved. And that's about all I have. Any questions?
Maybe if you're looking at the carnival next year, there's a way to team up with the neighbors of Lyon County.
Yes, we've already made contact with Bob Hastings, and he, as a matter of fact, it was him that brought up the fact that the Mark Twain Dayton district down there, that's one of their largest complaints, is they don't have anything happening close to their neighborhood. They either have to go to Dayton or elsewhere to enjoy activity. So he said that would definitely a boost to the community on both sides of the line.
Any, have you got your website back up yet or not?
I believe Ron is working on that. He's developing a new site for us, so that's in the works. Anything else?
Cool. You have any questions, Lance?
Don't have any questions.
Okay.
No. Well, all right.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Just amazing how much they've gotten done down there at Mark Twain. And really looks nice.
Sheriff Fontanero?
Just a couple things. Follow up on what Mary Lee said. Senior awareness was fantastic. Great turnout. Thank you, Commissioner McBride, for gracing us with your presence. It was great to see you down there. This past weekend, we had the Virginia City Highlands road closure. The homeowner associations got together, did their annual road closure that the resolution was passed on not too long ago, allowing them to close Lousetown and Cartwright. Kind of a mess to begin with, but they've got it all pulled together and only have one problem, so I think next year they'll be a little bit better set, better prepared, but it's been done. Another thing is coming up August 5th, I believe, is National Night Out, to be held for the fourth year. It'll be held both here in Virginia City and down on the river, so I hope we can get all the commissioners and a bunch of county officials out to those. Last thing, I would just, I'm going to use this term with the utmost respect and affection, but I need to mention a couple of curmudgeons. Anybody who reads the Highlands blog knows that term was thrown around there quite frequently by one of our residents, a gentleman who graced this chamber on several occasions, who passed away this past Friday, Mr. Pat Flanagan, Squid. He's no longer with us. I understand his daughters are in town now and will be making arrangements for his rest. I'm sure we'll get that information out to everybody. Also, another curmudgeon who graces us with his presence, who's absent today, is now fighting for his life after a health-related issue this past weekend. And while he's not the favorite of some in those room, I ask that you keep Dale Beach in your thoughts and prayers.
Thank you, Sheriff. And then Misty, you, it was Misty, right? I wanted to,
Valerie.
Oh, Valerie.
Yes, yes.
Valerie, did you want to say something? We were out a little out of context here, but would you like to say something about Patrick because you wanted to have a moment of silence for him?
I just requested that of the chat, if you
Well, we're going to do it right now then, since the sheriff made mention of that. We'll give a moment of silence for Pat Flanagan. Thank you all.
I just wanted to make a comment that I don't think a moment of silence is exactly appropriate. It would be better. A moment of.
Right. I'd like to come to the podium and repeat that so we can get it on the record. District Attorney Maddox. We're under staff now.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted me to talk about Pat Flanagan. No, I was thinking the same thing, Cynthia, that probably we should all talk while he's for a minute. With all these older people and talking about curmudgeons, I went to the eye doctor yesterday and found out I'm getting older and so are my eyes. So yeah. I don't know how much I had to pay for that, but that's about all the news I have.
Austin, do you have something for us today?
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Assistant DA Langer. Special counsel still here? Can you sneak up? You've had enough of the show, huh? Mr. Whitman.
Just a couple of quick items, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. We've been approached by a large employer out in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, IntelliSource. IntelliSource basically is the employer for the bulk of the Zulily logistical warehouse operations. They currently are operating in our county and have for some three years, I believe. As has been mentioned here before and in the media, Zulily recently announced plans to expand into a brand new building, 700,000 square feet, and will be raising their employment needs from 600 to 1,600. So obviously a net gain of 1,000 new jobs for our region. They're having difficulty procuring space in the industrial park right now because it seems like there's a great building and land rush going on. So we have offered up a temporary lease of unused vacant portions of our fire and public safety station out there. Bill Maddox is working with me on finalizing a lease, and I'm in dialogue back and forth as we speak with one of Zoo Lily's executives back in Denver. So that should culminate. Then we also have, I've been advised by our clerk that the petition to increase county commissioners from 3 to 5 was filed in time on Friday, and our clerk is now going through the validation process of something else. So that's my report, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Madam Clerk? Nothing right there? I miss anybody? Not there. Mr. Gallagher? I don't know how I could miss you.
Getting larger by the meeting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, the first item on my list is has to do with the park fund. I know it was mentioned during public comment last week, and I am still at this point in time trying to get a resolution as to whether the amounts that were calculated for the Highlands was correct. This has been an ongoing thing with Mr. Dave Thomas. I have reached out to Nicole Bart to see if they could get some resolution as to that, because I really don't want to start calculating interest until I know that the residents of the Highlands, primarily Dave Thomas, who's done probably 100% of the work, has agreed that this is a good number. And so consequently, we'll continue this going down this path. Hopefully they'll be able to agree with that number. If they don't, we'll take a look at it, make the adjustments where we are. But I really want that number to be at least satisfied by the residents, by Dave and the residents, before I calculate the interest on that. Hot off the press is our unaudited numbers for the year in fiscal year in 2014. Where our revenues actually, our actual revenues at this point, now this is tentative, so nobody goes spending this stuff, okay, is about a little over $11 million, which was about $972,000 more than we budgeted. And a lot of it, the biggest difference was for about $400,000 increase in building permits, which means that hopefully this bottom is going to go back up. And the other thing is that additionally heads that is about $313,000 in additional ad valorem for personal property. So there's good indicators there that hopefully we will continue to go through this. On the expenditure side, we spent a little more than $9.3 million. Which was about $1.2 million less than we budgeted. A lot of this was attributed to salary and benefits, the benefits package that we had negotiated in the prior, some other things related to consolidation of services and whatever. I thought all the departments did an excellent job with all their budgets. They came in almost all of them, if not all of them, under what there were under their appropriations. So I think that was a good sign. So looks like we're pretty healthy now. What happens with this is, of course, we have to look at all of those revenues that we have received this year that should be for next year. We have to make some calculations there, which probably are minor. But we also have to now put appropriations in for goods and services that we have received this month that we're not paying for, or last month that we're not paying for this month, which now have to be put into that fiscal year year-end 2014. So some minor adjustments there. Auditors are on site right as we speak, counting cash. I expect them to complete this audit in a very swift and complete and professional period of time. So we're off and running for the audit, and we're now in that budget year 2015.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. All right. Well, that concludes staff reports.
I have a question. It's a quick one. If I may,
Excuse me, but we don't take discussion during staff.
Pardon me.
But you do have the opportunity under public comment that will be coming up. Okay. Okay, now we're going to move on to item 11, which is board comment. Commissioner Shevegan?
Nothing at this time.
Commissioner Gilman?
No, sir. Nothing at this time.
And I have nothing today also. At this time, we're going to move on to item 14. This is discussion and possible action to approve resolution 14-404 honoring Jonathan Dawkins of Jackson, Missouri, as a true Virginia City hero. And I'm going to turn this over to County Manager Witten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to make an attempt to keep as much emotion out of my voice as possible, but if there's ever been a story that has touched my heart, it is of Jonathan Dawkins. He came to us through kind of an incredible journey. First off, he's 8 years old, and he does live in Jackson, Missouri. In any of his 8 years, he has already had 10 open heart surgeries and will have many more as he grows. There's great people and groups out there like Make-A-Wish Foundation. They somehow got involved and learned that Jonathan's wish is similar to many American boys. He wanted to drive a train. So Make-A-Wish said, okay, what do we do? And there's a great man down in the Bay Area by the name of Ken Marty. Ken's an Amtrak engineer, but he also happens to be president of the West Coast Railroaders Group, a group I'll get to in just a minute in my story about Jonathan. Ken contacted his boss, the president of Amtrak, and told him about Jonathan. And Jonathan, Amtrak went to work, developed a plan that brought Jonathan on a flight to Sacramento, and then they put him on the eastbound Amtrak passenger train to take the train over Donner Summit through the tunnels and into Reno on Friday, the June 20th. So he got his dream come true, but Ken didn't let it stop there. He got a hold of Tom Gray and the Virginia and Truckee Railroad, who put in place their own plan for Jonathan. Working with our Virginia City Tourism Commission and Denny and Patrick, a limousine was chartered to bring Jonathan up for a two-night stay at the Silverland. And starting Saturday morning, Jonathan got to ride the Deadhead down first and pilot it, then came up on the long line, traveling in style in the back coach, chatting with passengers, including Ken Marty's young son, Tyler, who we had met and are lifelong buds now because they both love railroads. And when he arrived, or knowing that he was going to arrive on Saturday morning, I decided, what the heck, I think I'll go and just shake the hand of a great young man. So we went up to Tom's passenger depot, and Jonathan came out, greeted us all. The living legends were there and greeted him in style, Virginia City style. And off began his day in Virginia City, just like the other 200 plus or minus passengers that were on the long line that day. He got to ride the long line back, and you know, you would kind of think, okay, he's had his dream now, man. What an opportunity! But Ken Marty's a hell of a guy. He's got a group of trained people, some Amtrak, some other, I presume, that own these little tiny motor operated cars you see behind. That run behind the trains, in our case the long line train, every weekend that the long line runs looking for spot fires and fire patrol. I got the opportunity personally to ride down with Ken on the way down. And when we got to the Eastgate Depot, Jonathan hopped back out, hopped on one of the speeders with his mom and dad, and rode the speeder back up to Virginia City. So that's really the story of Jonathan. There were a lot of great people. The party ended with a day just like I think any 8-year-old boy would want. It was a pizza party at the Red Dog. So there were a lot of phenomenal people, both locally, state, and nationally, to make this happen, not just not just Make-A-Wish, but Tom, obviously. The governor issued a proclamation. I hate to say he beat us to it, but he must have had more advanced notice. So this is my way of hoping that the Board of Commissioners will honor Jonathan as a true American hero, a Virginia City hero, excuse me. So if you would indulge me, I'd like to read this resolution in the record. This is Resolution 14-404, a resolution honoring Jonathan Dawkins. Whereas Jonathan Dawkins has, in his 8 years of life to date, mounted a brave and heroic battle overcoming great challenges. And whereas Jonathan is an avid fan of trains and railroading, and whereas Jonathan has long dreamed of running a real train, and whereas Tom Gray and the fine folks at Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Virginia and Truckee Railroad, the West Coast Railroaders Group, and Amtrak joined to help make Jonathan's dreams come true, and whereas the Story County Board of Commissioners congratulate Jonathan for his successful accomplishments of bringing both the Amtrak and the Virginia and Truckee trains in on time, therefore, it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Jonathan Dawkins as a true and honorable Virginia City hero on this first day of July 2014. And there are, I want to thank and recognize Angela for a couple of file photos that Jim Gill took. I added a couple myself from his experience. And I have sent them all back to his father in Missouri for presentation. And when, if this resolution is signed, I have a slightly fancier copy than our standard legal ones for mailing to him also.
Well done, Pat.
Are we going to do like a fancy Joe Curtis type resolution to send him?
We've got it here. Yes, Mr. Chan, or Mr. Commissioner.
Well, motion to approve then resolution 14404 honoring Jonathan Dawkins.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Moving along to item 15, discussion of possible action resolution 14-393. Approval of the tax rate levy.
I think I can take this, Mr. Chairman. I'll defer to our comptroller if need be on any of the internal components. This is required annually to state on the record what the tax rate is. Most importantly, there are a few internal adjustments here. I'll explain those in a minute, not quantify them. But the bottom line is the tax rate for our county, for the county itself, and the counties, inclusive of school and state, remain exactly the same. The state's tax rate is 2.3960 overall. The overall tax rate that we all pay, I was going to say enjoy paying, is 3.4607. The changes occurred in both the general account fund and the Fire Protection District 474. There were actually movements in both directions. As you would recall, in the previous fiscal year that ended yesterday, we had a separate jail fund. That component was added into the general fund because we're no longer funding the jail separately. The Fire Protection District, we had a Fire Protection District 474, but then the general fund was inflated to some degree to pay for the wildland fire last year while we were completing the transition with MDF. So there was an increase and a decrease, and the bottom line is no change over the overall rate.
Any discussion on this? Motion for approval?
I want to raise them. Motion to approve the resolution 14393, approving of the tax rate levy.
Second.
It's been moved to second to approve resolution 14-393, approval of the tax rate levy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Item 16, discussion of and we're going to do a typographical change here. Instead of a possible inaction, it's going to be a possible action. Approval of modification and extension of collective bargaining agreement between Story County, who is the employer, and Story County Sheriff's Office Employee Association. Operating Engineers Local Union Number 3. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this item. Before we go to this item, we're going to ask for a continuation of this item until the August 5th County Commission meeting. We're still not quite ready. The union and the county are still bargaining.
Good enough. Any discussion on this? Motion for approval to continue this item until August the 5th.
So moved.
One second.
That's at 10 o'clock here in the courthouse.
Yes.
Row 2, aisle B.
All right. The motion and a second to continue this item to August the 5th, 10 a.m. in this courthouse. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries, and then we'll move right along to item 17, discussion of possible action approval of modifications with Article 46. And you're up again on this, Austin.
Okay, thank you, Commissioners. Mr. Chairman, the AFSCME contract, which is the union bargaining agreement for the general employees, had a reopener clause in its last year's bargaining agreement, and that was Article 46, Benefits Insurance. And the reopener clause simply said that this item would be reopened this year for bargaining to make it consistent with the other two unions, that meaning OE3 for sheriffs and IAFF for the fire district. It appears that that will occur. We're still working, as you know, with the sheriff's office. This is only to do that. And then there is one item on subsection 1 is to change from 60 days or 90 days to 60 days in concurrence with the Affordable Care Act that requires that a new employee of anybody is eligible within 60 days. So we are recommending approval of this chapter or this article of that collective bargaining agreement.
Do we have any discussion on this?
No, pretty minor mods, I think.
It's by federal. It's by federal requirement.
You have to address retirement. Do you want to?
That is correct, Commissioner Gilman. The federal government, under Affordable Care Act in 2015, has a provision that if an employee is hired either in the private or the public sector, that that person is eligible for benefits within 60 days, and there'll be no other changes to the contract.
Okay, motion to approve the modification to Articles 46 and 47 of the existing collective bargaining agreement.
I'll second the motion.
Very good. Been moved and seconded to approve modifications to Articles 46 and 47. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And I heard a 46 and 47.
It's agendized as 47. That's why.
Okay, let me make sure, Mr. Chairman. Do you mind if we talk about this? Okay. I didn't quite catch that. So under, okay, we are only modifying Article 46. We are not modifying Article 47. I apologize for not catching that agenda language a moment ago.
Okay. You want to amend your motion to only 46?
Amended.
A motion to amend to approval of modifications to Article 46?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded for approval of modifications, Article 46. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, good enough. Move on to item number 20, possible action licensing board second readings. We have none.
Wow, this is that
first time ever for me.
I can never remember.
Okay.
Austin and I were going to fight over who got to present them today.
Going to move on to item number 22, public comment. Ms. Kennedy, you can be up first since you had a question.
Come on up. We don't get you on the record if you're not on.
Yes.
It's a vinyl record, by the way.
How many times do you have to on your own?
Mr. Gallagher kindly answered my question for me off the record. It was just about the amount that he and Mr. Thomas were discussing for the park fund. But I've submitted this remark to Vanessa for the record. I'm Cynthia Kennedy. of 5030 Fandango Pass, Virginia City Highlands. My husband Patrick would be with me here today, except that he had a doctor's appointment that was scheduled several weeks ago in Sacramento. I'm sorry to appear before you today with the news I have to bear. On the weekend of July 21st, our home in the Highlands Ranches was vandalized. At first, we thought that our driveway sign had just been tagged. It's a large porcelain sign that I painted and fired in my kiln, approximately 3 feet by 3 feet, with Smiling Pinto Station painted on it with our logo, a smiling pinto. With its tin roof and teal blue surround, it's one of the most attractive signs in the area, and Patrick and I spent a lot of time creating and installing it. A large orange target with a bullseye was spray painted over its entire surface. That was one thing. Someone had tagged our sign. Property does get tagged from time to time. Soon, though, we realized the vandals' crime did not stop with a sign. Our classic BMW, Ford tractor, Scout snowplow truck, and horse trailer had all been damaged. I won't go into details as they might hamper the Sheriff's Department's investigation, but it was obvious that whomever did this wanted us to know that we were indeed targeted. We have a business that includes international customers. Are any of these customers enemies? No. We have a lot of friends in the Highlands, Virginia City, and other areas of Nevada and California through our participation in Dog Agility, the Reno Blues Society, and the Republican Party. Are any of them enemies? No. The only conclusion we can draw is that we expressed our opinion about something here in the county, and that infuriated someone so much that they came onto our property and told us in no uncertain terms that we have a target on our backs. I make this presentation to warn others who express opinions in commissioners' meetings, support candidates, and write letters to the editor to consider whether expressing an opinion or support in public is worth having your property vandalized in this violent manner. We have lived here for almost 30 years, and during that time, we've contributed greatly to this community. We were part of the first staff of reporters and photographers on the Comstock Chronicle. Since then, we worked for free for every newspaper on the Comstock. We documented and reviewed countless plays, birthdays, graduations, and a myriad of events. I don't think anyone's taken more photographs of this area and its residents than my husband, Patrick. Our video, Virginia City and the Comstock Lode Yesterday and Today, which we produced in 1989, has sold all over the world and promoted this area like none other. We produced this out of our own pocket, without grants, because we felt it should be done. Over 40,000 copies of the original program, goodwill ambassadors, if you will, have been sold since its release. Right now, we're in the middle of producing a new version, again at our own expense, that will further promote this area, its history, its attractions, and events. When this vandalism happened, I was the main organizer of the Nevada Republican Party State Central Committee meeting to be held here on August 1st through 3rd. On August 2nd, there will be a grand celebration banquet at Piper's Opera House honoring 150 years of the Republican Party in Nevada. We expect over 300 people to be in town for this event. But now that someone has come on our property, painted a bullseye on our beautiful sign, and severely damaged four of our vehicles, we've had to seriously reconsider our participation and contribution to not just the local party, but to the county at large. It seems the potential of repercussion for this kind of activity makes it just not worth it. Sheriff Antonoro and his deputies have done an excellent job investigating this vandalism. People have raised funds, and now there's a $1,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of whomever committed this heinous crime. The reason I've brought this information to you today is because I want you all to be aware of what can happen to people who want to make a positive contribution to this community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. This behavior that goes on is just terrible. I mean, we've had the home invasion out there not too long ago. in this. You live in a rural part of the county, which makes you somewhat vulnerable, and I guess I would recommend that perhaps you could put a camera up. I've seen that on the blog. People are recommending putting cameras up to... we recently, in our own business, put up new cameras also. Just sometimes it's a deterrent, and if it's not a deterrent, at least maybe going forward, there's some way of, you know, catching these culprits who vandalize your property and threaten you like that. It's just... it's unacceptable, and you know, the sheriff is going to do all he can do, but you live in a wide open area out there, which, you know, once again, I say you're vulnerable to it. It's, we have a little easier here around town where people are, you know, we have a lot of neighbors that are close that can look out for us.
May I ask the sheriff? Sheriff, is the reward processed through secret witness?
No, it's being offered through Cynthia and her friends.
Okay. Get in touch with me if you would. We may be able to help out with that as well, with some of the monies that Comptroller Gallagher mentioned during his report. Not a whole million bucks, but maybe we can sweeten the pot if we can find a legal way to process that.
Thank you.
Okay. Continuing on with public comment. Ms. Cohen. Come on down.
Judy Cohen, Virginia City resident and business owner. I'd like to publicly acknowledge, even though they're not here, Chris and Carolyn from the B Street Bed and Breakfast. They're the ones that instigated the San Francisco Chronicle and brought it to Mr. Dotson's attention. They're the ones that made all the initial contacts. And I'd just like to thank them because it probably wouldn't have been done unless someone else had become involved, and it helps and benefits all of Virginia City and the county in general, not just the ones that came out in the article, well, the two-part articles. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
That's it.
Can you have a phone? Mark, do you have anything? All right. I think that's all. Meeting's adjourned.